Now, LeBron in town tonight, Bobby. It's a lot of fun when he comes. I will say, this is not quite the marquee matchup that many people on the primary and secondary ticket markets hoped it would be maybe 3 or 4 months ago, maybe even before the LeBron injury. What shocks you the most about what's transpired with the Lakers?
Probably that the wheels fell off after he came back from his injury. You know, I think before he was hurt in that Golden State game, they were, 19-14, 20-14. They were right in that 4-5 range in the playoffs. They did not play great basketball as expected when he got hurt. But I thought we all, you know, once he got back, that would have kind of been that playoff run. And they had some, you know, they had some really bad losses. You know, the losses before the break and after the break, down in Atlanta, at Memphis, at New Orleans. I think that probably surprises me the most. I mean, I think the big thing, too, is that they really haven't played without a point guard all season with Lonzo Ball out, Rajon Rondo's been battling some injuries. But, yeah, I think we probably put too much stock in the LeBron can carry any team possible considerations based on what he was doing, certainly in Cleveland the last couple years. And I think we overestimated how good the Western Conference is. That, you know, playing these, even some of the bottom feeders are still pretty good here. And but yeah, I mean, I think it's just based on how they've played probably post All-Star break here.
It's an interesting atmosphere, it seems like, with that team. And the way that I'm reading it and the reports that I've heard is that it's almost like LeBron James and Magic Johnson are kind of on the same team. And then on another page, you have Luke Walton and Jeannie Buss, who's backed him publicly. How do you think this is going to play out? And is Luke Walton going to get a fair shake in all of this?
I would be surprised if Luke Walton's the head coach next year. I really would. And I say that just because if you're the Lakers and if you're the front office, there's going to be a fall guy somewhere. I mean, yeah. It's just the reality of the situation. I mean, you're not going to fire the players. Well, most of them are actually going to be free agents. You're not going to fire Magic and Rob Pelinka are not going to fire each other. Mm-hmm. So who's the next guy there? And it's usually the head coach. And I think if you are ownership, or if you're the front office, you make that decision right when the season ends. It's because the one thing you don't want to do is kind of let that linger into the offseason. It's free agency. And once you, the season goes, because what happens when you get off to a slow start or if you do not get a marquee free agent, it's going to be the blame is going to be on the coach again. So, yeah, I mean, I think when Luke was hired back in 2016, it was for a team that he was going to be able to mold. They were building through the draft mm-hmm. with, you know, Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, players like that. It was a rebuild. And I think the timeline certainly has shifted now and probably is not the right guy for this team. But I don't know who the right guy is because mm-hmm. it's a team that's missed the playoffs 6 years in a row. And it's clearly a, certainly a rebuild, but you're in a win now mode with probably not win now players.
The excellent Bobby Marks, our guest, front office insider, ESPN NBA, Lakers Raptors tonight, 8 o'clock, SportsNet 590, The Fan, games on SportsNet as well with Matt Devlin and Leo Rautins. Two quickies on the Lakers, and we'll switch to the Raptors. One, I've always found it unfair that LeBron, I don't think this year has reflected well on him with a lot of on-court and off-court stuff. I don't. But I think the one unfair label on him, Bobby, is that he's a coach killer. There have been only a couple coaches dismissed in his tenure. The Cavs got rid of Paul Silas really on in his Cavs career. He rode the rest of the way with Mike Brown. He comes to Miami. A lot of rumors about Eric Spoelstra, but Spoelstra was the only coach he had in Miami. And since he's obviously gotten back to Cleveland, yes, David Blatt gone. But as you might say, David Blatt, I would say David Blatt probably wasn't getting another job in the NBA, and he hasn't, and he hasn't even gotten a sniff. Is that an unfair thing to lay at LeBron's feet, that he's, like, you know, sneaking up behind coaches and knifing them all in the back? There's only been two coaches fired in 15 years.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, I think the David Blatt hiring, you know, LeBron had not committed there yet, and I think they were going in a that was more of a player development mode when he was hired. And then certainly, you know, he did get him to the finals and then he was let go the following year. So yeah, I don't buy into that notion. I think whenever you have a LeBron James on your team, that you have to do whatever it takes to put the best players, the best front office, the best coaching staff around him. And, you know, I think you saw in in Miami for those, you know, 3 or 4 years. It worked with one coach. You know, we'll see what happens in Los Angeles as far as what the future of Luke Walton here is. But if Luke goes, I don't believe it's going to be because of LeBron James. I think it's going to be because they are looking for either a more experienced coach, a win now mode coach, maybe a coach that kind of fits what they are looking to do long term. But I don't think it has anything to do with LeBron James here.
So we'll shift focus to the Toronto Raptors front office and their coaching staff. Obviously, Bobby Webster and Masai Ujiri not shy to pull the trigger on any trade that's going to make this team better and give them a chance to get to the postseason. But you have Nick Nurse in his first regular season as an NBA head coach, and a lot of people are kind of torn on whether he gets credit for the success or whether he doesn't deserve it because the players and him haven't really seen how they're going to execute in the playoffs. What do you make of his performance so far, and do you see him as kind of a long-term candidate for a job here in Toronto?
I think the playoffs will dictate a lot of things here. I really do. I mean, I think what Nick has been able to do and what his staff has done this year, you know, to have a team that's top two, you basically had, you know, with the Kawhi Leonard and you add Danny Green here, and then you've added Marc Gasol and Jeremy Lin down the stretch to kind of implement new. It's very hard when you move one seat over. I mean, it really is. It's a little different when you're the assistant coach and then when you become head coach and the expectation level. This is not a team that we thought would be competing just to get into the playoffs. You know, when you make a Kawhi Leonard type trade in the summer, you basically kind of push your chips to the middle here, and it's kind of like, I don't want to say championship or bust, but, you know, to get the goal is to get to an NBA Finals. And I think Nick will probably, unfair as it is, will probably be judged what they do in the playoffs. I mean, I think how the East is shaking up, they will – I don't see much of a challenge in the first round based on teams that are in that 6, 7, 8 range. So it will be determined when we get into that second round here. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's such a long season that we kind of pick apart a lot of different things. We could probably look at the Cleveland game the other night and maybe, you know, find things that went wrong there. But I think the body of work kind of speaks for itself for the regular season, that they've done a really good job. But as I said, you know, Dwayne Casey was judged for what he did in the playoffs the last 4 or 5 years. And I think when we get there in mid-April, that's, you know, the focus now shifts on, you know, what Nick and this group can do.
I know, before you go, I know you've weighed in, we have too, on what happened with Westbrook in Utah. Given where you stand, given where I think a lot of our audience stands, basketball is so unique and people love the interaction with the players. They love the closeness. They don't get it in any other sport. Do you see a solution? We are having an increase in the frequency and the aggressiveness of some player fan interact. They've always been there, but we're getting to a dangerous level. Do you agree of player fan interaction where fans think, I'm paying a lot, I'm sitting really close, I can get away with anything here, and maybe Monday proved you can't?
Yeah, I think we're walking a fine line right now. I don't want to say we're walking a fine line towards Detroit, Indiana from 2004, but the way how close the seats are to the floor, I mean, it's basically the only event where only sport where, I mean, there's really no barrier separating you unless besides security between the fan interaction and players, as far as, you know, where the bench, I mean, there's even, you know, in that front row there, fans are sitting next to players. And I think, you know, where we are, social media, where we are with cameras, I mean, we probably wouldn't have known about that 10 years ago or maybe 15 years ago, but, you know, someone was filming that. But I agree, we're walking a fine line. I would say 95% of the fans are great, but there is that 5%, and that's that 5% that can kind of be the tipping point here. And I think the other night was unfortunate. I wish Russell would have used maybe a better choice of words. I think we could all agree on that. I understand certainly where he and his teammates were coming from based on what was said. But, you know, there will be a point where a Russell Westbrook won't have the patience, or a type player won't have the patience, and will confront a fan. And then it'll matter be where does it go from there. And the one thing you don't want to do is put barriers up like you see over in Europe, and you got fans behind like chain link fence. You know, that's the one thing we don't want, because I think this game is as great as it is right now.